He liked it immensely, and when it was finished, he went out into the veranda and sat in the sunshine and fluffed up his fur to make it dry to the roots. Then he felt better.
"There are more things to find out about in this house," he said to himself, "than all my family could find out in all their lives. I shall certainly stay and find out."
He spent all that day roaming over the house. He nearly drowned himself in the bathtubs, put his nose into the ink on a writing table, and burnt it on the end of the big man's cigar, for he climbed up in the big man's lap to see how writing was done. At nightfall, he ran into Teddy's nursery to watch how the kerosene lamps were lighted, and when Teddy went to bed, Rikki Tikki climbed up too.
He was a restless companion because he had to get up and attend to every noise all through the night and find out what made it.
Teddy's mother and father came in, the last thing, to look at their boy, and Rikki Tikki was awake on the pillow.
"I don't like that," said Teddy's mother. "He may bite the child."
"He'll do no such thing," said the father. "Teddy's safer with that little beast than if he had a bloodhound to watch him. If a snake came into the nursery now."
But Teddy's mother wouldn't think of anything so awful. Early in the morning, Rikki Tikki came to early breakfast in the veranda, riding on Teddy's shoulders, and they gave him banana and some boiled egg, and he sat on all their laps one after the other, because every well-brought-up mongoose always hopes to be a house mongoose someday and have rooms to run about in. And Rikki Tikki's mother, she used to live in the general's house in Sigauli, had carefully told Rikki what to do if he ever came across white men. Then Rikki Tikki went out into the garden to see what was to be seen. It was a large garden, only half cultivated, with bushes as big as summer houses of Marshall Neal roses, lime and orange trees, clumps of bamboos, and thickets of high grass. Rikki Tikki licked his lips.
"This is a splendid hunting ground," he said,
and his tail grew bottle brushy at the thought of it. And he scuttled up and down the garden, snuffing here and there, till he heard very sorrowful voices in a thorn bush. It was Darzee, the tailor bird, and his wife. They had made a beautiful nest by pulling two big leaves together and stitching them up the edges with fibers, and had filled the hollow with cotton and downy fluff. The nest swayed to and fro as they sat on the rim and cried.
"What is the matter?" asked Rikki Tikki.
"We are very miserable," said Darzee. "One of our babies fell out of the nest yesterday and Nag ate him."
"Hmm," said Rikki Tikki. "That is very sad, but I am a stranger here. Who is Nag?"
Darzee and his wife only cowered down in the nest without answering. For from the thick grass at the foot of the bush there came a low hiss, a horrid, cold sound that made Rikki Tikki jump back 2 clear feet. Then, inch by inch, out of the grass rose up the head and spread hood of Nag, the big black cobra, and he was 5 feet long from tongue to tail. When he had lifted 1/3 of himself clear of the ground, he stayed balancing to and fro, exactly as a dandelion tuft balances in the wind. And he looked at Rikki Tikki with the wicked snake's eyes that never change their expression, whatever the snake may be thinking of.
"Who is Nag?" said he. "I am Nag, the great god Brahman. Put his mark upon all our people when the first cobra spread his hood to keep the sun off Brahman as he slept. Look and be afraid."
He spread out his hood more than ever, and Rikki Tikki saw the spectacle mark on the back of it that looks exactly like the eye part of a hook and eye fastening. He was afraid for the minute, but it is impossible for a mongoose to stay frightened for any length of time. And though Rikki Tikki had never met a live cobra before, his mother had fed him on dead ones, and he knew that all a grown mongoose's business in life was to fight and eat snakes. Nag knew that too, and at the bottom of his cold heart, he was afraid.